O Lord, you are a God of mercy and great blessing. In your love, you have redeemed our souls and have given us the gift of eternal life. Be with us, O Lord, in the midst of the struggles and sufferings of this life. Comfort us with your promises. Guide us by your word this morning and bless us with the certainty of your presence as we worship you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome to you all to our worship service today in the name of the Lord Jesus, our blessed Savior. May the Spirit of God be poured out upon us as we worship our Savior God today in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We've come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children, but we've disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all your sins By the perfect life and the innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God grant us grace and strength to live according to his will. Amen. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory to God, we give you thanks and praise. Of heavenly joy and peace on earth, we sing, we worship you. To you our hearts we raise, Lord God Almighty, Father, Heavenly King. Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son, you bore for us the load of this world's sin. O Lamb of God, your glorious victory won, receive our prayer, grant us your peace within. Alone, O Christ, you only are the Lord, at God's right hand in majesty most high, who with the Spirit worshipped and adored, with all the heavenly host we glorify. Let us pray. O God, without whose blessing we are not able to please you, mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and govern our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Good morning. First of our Bible lessons today is found recorded in the book of Genesis. We read there in the 50th chapter, verses 15 to 21, an episode from the life of Joseph. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. So far, the first lesson. We read responsively passages drawn from the 103rd Psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
Who forgives all your iniquities.
Who heals all your diseases.
Who redeems your life from destruction. He has not dealt with us according to our sins,
nor punished us according to our iniquities.
For as the heavens are high above the earth,
so great is his mercy toward those who fear him.
As far as the east is from the west,
so far as he removed our transgressions from us.
As a father pities his children,
so the Lord pities those who fear him.
For he knows our frame.
He remembers that we are dust.
Our days are like grass, as a flower of the field. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him.
And his righteousness to children's children.
Our next Bible lesson is drawn from Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, beginning in the 4th chapter, the 29th verse. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Here ends the second lesson. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and treasure it. Alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia.
Let us confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word for our consideration today is written in 1 Timothy, in the first chapter, verses 12 through 17. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that He considered me faithful, appointing me to His service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on Him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So far the words. In the name of our blessed Savior, Jesus, dear fellow redeemed, our text is taken from the first letter of Paul to Timothy. Timothy was a young Christian who lived in Lystra in modern Turkey. He was converted to Christ as Savior during Paul's first missionary journey about the year AD 48. The Bible tells us that on Paul's second visit to Lystra a few years later, Timothy had attained to such a level of spiritual maturity and Bible knowledge that Paul decided to bring him along as a mission partner. Some years later, when Paul was on his third mission tour, he left Timothy behind at Ephesus in Asia Minor as the pastor of that church along with several neighboring congregations. And it was while Timothy was serving as pastor of those churches that he became the recipient of the two letters that bear his name in the New Testament, which Paul wrote to his young colleague to lend counsel to him for his ministry. And we see how he did that in our text in a very special way by picturing himself to Timothy, Paul, picturing himself as the worst of sinners, chosen by grace, the object of Christ's patience, and grateful in His service. Today we want to examine these words of Paul to Timothy in our text, and we want to see ourselves in Paul's picture for our spiritual encouragement as well. So one way Paul pictured himself to Timothy, as we see from verse 15 in our text, was the worst of sinners. You might wonder when we hear those words why Paul would portray himself in that way after having been converted to the Lord Jesus some years before that. He was a dedicated missionary now. He was a gifted preacher. He was a devout servant of the Lord. And how is worst of sinners an accurate description? Now, Paul recognized first he was still a poor sinner who fell short of God's glory every day. And Paul had also not forgotten his life of opposition to Jesus before he was converted, the vile treatment that he had given to Christians, the blaspheming of Jesus' name, his persecuting Jesus and doing everything that he could to keep the nasty message of Christ crucified and risen from spreading to other people. Even though he had the right spiritual pedigree, he'd been born in Tarsus in Cilicia, in the corner of what's now Turkey, but he had been brought up actually in the city of Jerusalem and had been educated at the feet of the famous Rabbi Gamaliel, according to the strict laws of Judaism, and he was second to none in his zeal for God and in his compliance to all the tenets of the Jewish faith. He had not known Christ as his Lord and Savior from sin. He had not loved the Lord, had no desire to serve him, but had opposed him with fanatical zeal. We can see ourselves in the picture, can't we, that Paul draws here of himself to Timothy. Though we've not perhaps engaged, we have not engaged in acts of persecution against Christ. We have not tried to stop the gospel from going out to others. We've not had it on our to-do list to harm other Christians. Yet we were born as God's enemies with a nature opposed to his will. What King David wrote in Psalm 14 is very true also of us, as we were by nature apart from the working of the Spirit in our hearts. The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of men to see if there are any who understand and who seek after God, and they've all turned aside. They've become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. As we were by nature, we could not even meet God halfway when it comes to knowing him or living for him and serving him. We were, as we'll sing in the after sermon hymn, we were the chief of sinners, the worst of sinners. Thank God, friends, there's more to the story, more to this picture. We also can see ourselves along with Paul as those who have been chosen by grace. Grace is that big Bible word that means love undeserved. And the term that Paul uses here in our text in the Greek original in his letter to Timothy, when he says, "The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." Actually, the word there is superabundantly in the original. It's like a glass being filled up with water so it begins to spill over onto the table. This is the picture that Paul uses to describe God's undeserved love for us in Christ. It's superabundant. It's like waves of the ocean lapping up on the sandy shore over and over and over again without ever stopping. So how did it happen that Paul, the persecutor of Christ, became a recipient of God's superabundant grace? I'm sure you know the story. You've read it. You might use it as one of your devotions this week. In Acts chapter 9, it tells the story of how this happened. Paul was traveling the road to Damascus to imprison Christians who lived there. And what didn't happen is that all of a sudden he had a spiritual epiphany that led him to say, "I don't want to persecute Jesus anymore. I want to start being a believer. I want to start living my life for him and serve him as a missionary." That's not what happened, no. Paul did not choose Jesus. Jesus chose Paul. For the sake of his mercy, he appeared to him on the road that day and blessed him with faith. And in this way changed Paul's picture, Paul's story, from one of ugliness to one of beauty. Somebody who believed that God had sent Jesus to rescue sinners from their sad spiritual plight by laying down his life for them on the cross. Friends, the same miracle has been repeated times without number ever since, not only for Paul, not only for Timothy, thousands of others, even millions. How are you blessed to have in your possession the blessings of God's forgiving love, new spiritual life, and the sure hope of eternal glory in heaven? You didn't make a decision to do this on your own, to accept Christ as your Redeemer, Or did you perhaps think to yourself one day, it's just time to ask Jesus to come into my heart and make me his? No. But again, it was God's Holy Spirit who came to you in love and blessed you with faith through the Word, which for most of us happened in our baptism. For others of us, it happened perhaps later on in life. You can think of that whenever that day was, your baptism, or when you came to trust in Jesus as your Damascus highway, when the Lord made you a member of the Holy Christian Church, and having Christ as your brother, God as your father, a person who can say and sing with gratitude to God, "Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me, died that I might live on high, lives that I might never die. As the branch is to the vine, I am his, he is mine." We can also see ourselves in the picture that Paul paints here in our text as objects of Christ's patience. Paul writes in verse 16, "I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example to those who would believe on him and receive eternal life." Just think about this, the patience that Jesus showed to Paul as he went about his persecuting, plotting, breathing threats and murder against Jesus' followers, even obtaining letters of authorization from the high priest to travel to nearby cities like Damascus so that if he could find Christians there, he could bring them back, both men and women, bound to Jerusalem. Jesus could have struck him down and should have struck him down on the spot if that's how the Lord operated, but no, he endured that persecution just as he endured the abuse of his enemies in the court of Pilate and Caiaphas and the agony of the cross. Patience is on the list of the Lord's grand and beautiful attributes, which he's always demonstrated towards sinners, all the way back to Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed him in the garden, and he could have, again, rightfully destroyed them in his righteous anger. He did not, but right away gave them the promise of a Savior. The days of Noah, he could have wiped out the whole human race for its godlessness in the waters of the great flood, but in patience and love preserved Noah and his family and renewed his gospel promise. When we consider this, how the Lord showed such patience, and also for Paul, we know that he can and he will, and in love he has saved us who trust in him, including all of his believing saints. Finally, let's see ourselves in Paul's story as those who are grateful in his service. After Paul was led to faith in Christ, and after he got baptized by Ananias in Damascus for the remission of his sins, the overarching goal of his life was, "Lord, how can I serve you?" Which he did in a special way, as you know, as an apostle and as a missionary who traveled far and wide, proclaiming the great things that God had done for him in Christ. The Lord has planted the same desire in our hearts, hasn't he, by the gospel. When we consider all that he did for us, the unlimited patience and love he's shown us in saving us from our sin guilt, in rescuing us from hell, which is described in the Bible as a lake of fire, everlasting chains, a place of unspeakable horror where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We lift our hearts to God in gratitude, and we look for ways to serve him. Sharing the gospel good news with friends as he gives us opportunity. Practicing patience towards others, forgiving those who hurt us, just like Joseph did for his brothers, as we heard in our Old Testament lesson. Serving him in ways that we've mentioned in sermon not so long ago, and as an usher in worship services. as a teacher of the Sunday school children, as an officer of the congregation, as part of the Mary Martha's ladies group, helping out with cleaning and maintenance on the church property, as some of you were able to do yesterday, and through the year in other ways, and letting your light shine for Jesus by patterning your life after His in holiness and purity, walking in the way of His commandments with thankfulness. Martin Luther, in his commentary to the Romans in the preface, described this Holy Spirit-given desire that God gives to His Christians to serve the Lord in these and other ways as follows. Luther wrote, "Oh, it is a living, busy, active, mighty thing, this faith. It is impossible for it not to be serving the Lord with works of love incessantly. It doesn't ask whether good works are to be done, but before the question is even asked, it has already done them and is constantly doing them spontaneously out of gratitude and praise to God who has shown to us His grace." So the Lord continue to so bless us. And as we see ourselves in Paul's story and reflect on God's fatherly goodness to us in Christ, let us join our hearts with Paul in praising Him in the beautiful doxology in the last verse of our text. "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your Spirit free.
I invite you to stand for prayer. Included in our altar prayer this morning, we will be offering a special petition on behalf of Kate Sowers. She is the wife of Pastor Rob Sowers, a pastor of our CLC congregation in Winter Haven, Florida, who was diagnosed recently with an as yet undetermined form of cancer. So we also remember her in our prayers. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named, we worship you for your wonderful wisdom, for your mighty works, and your perfect holiness, and we especially praise you for adopting us into your family through the suffering and death of your dear Son, that through faith in Jesus we might enter with confidence into your presence and bring to you our prayers and requests. Let your mercy and grace descend on us like the morning dew, giving us life and breath, health and contentment, and deliver us from every kind of danger to body or soul. Above all, we ask you to look upon our moral helplessness, spiritual blindness, and the evil we have no power to remedy, and visit us with life and salvation. By your Holy Spirit, strengthen us inwardly with the gift of true faith and trust in Christ alone. Let the love of Christ fill our hearts in this place, and throughout your entire church, that having been reborn unto salvation and righteousness, we might bring forth the fruits of faith in our lives. Instill in us a genuine love for all people, especially our fellow believers. Give us compassion for all who are in need and forgiveness for all enemies. May the love that we show in our lives cause others to glorify you, O Lord, for you are the author of all good things. Bestow on the nations of the earth such knowledge of your glory and grace that they may turn to you, the only true God, and to your Son, Jesus Christ, and find salvation. Grant also your favor upon this land of ours, that more and more people within her borders may turn from evil and come to faith in Christ and be filled with peace and joy. O Lord, give a special measure of your power to those who are in sorrow or mourning, to those who are in pain or sickness, that they may receive your blessed aid. We remember especially Kate Sowers in the physical trial that she is experiencing and ask your blessing upon the medical treatment that she will be receiving for the cancer. And when you see fit to allow us to experience chastening and correction, help us to bear up under our trials in faith, knowing that you are controlling all things for our eternal welfare. These and all other needful things we ask through our Redeemer and Lord, Jesus Christ, in whom we also join to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And for the last hymn, why don't we sing the last two stanzas, 4 and 5.
All my thoughts to him.